This is the Delivery Space podcast. Whether you're interested in software delivery, business change or transformation, we've got some great content lined up for you. We launch into different areas of project delivery and bring you those insights and experiences that you don't get from a book. It's Sharon and Nisha, and this is our episode on rocking Scrum and Kanban.
Hey, Sharon, how are you?
Really good and very much looking forward to this recording.
Karen and I know each other from Soprasteric. Karen was actually my manager there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, ladies.
Would you like to give us an introduction to yourself and tell our listeners a bit about you?
So I'm Karen Clayton. I'm a change professional. Been in change for probably 35, 36 years. Started off in traditional project management, moved into agile consulting more recently. That's what I do, generally in financial services.
And that's where we connected when we were working together. But what we haven't revealed to our listeners yet is that not only do you use Scrum to deliver solutions for clients, but you have another passion at the weekend that you use Scrum and Kanban for. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Outside of work, I run a rock page with some friends that we set up during COVID. For people like us that go to a lot of live music, we could see that gigs and everything was probably going to stop. And we weren't sure how we were going to get our live music fixed. So three of us formed a rock page called Quarantine Rocks, just for about 20 friends to start with. And it snowballed and took off. So we now have, we locked the page at 350 people because we didn't want it to become a beast that we couldn't administrate as well as work. So now it's a private group that people ask to join. But I think we're at about 1,400 members now. A lot of bands, a lot of promoters, a lot of venues, a lot of other festival organisers. And we support live music in all its forms. So predominantly rock bands, but we support music venues, small grassroots music venues, and new and upcoming bands.
That's amazing. And it's a great title. I love the title, Quarantine Rocks. Apart from the period of quarantine, lockdown, the pandemic, it is, as we were discussing, it is a great, catchy title for the initiative that you guys have set up. How's the response been? Like you say, you've grown to 1,400. Once venues started opening up, you must have had like an influx of people that were interested.
When we started the page, we thought we'd only be doing it for 3 months. We thought lockdown would only last that long. And, you know, here we are two plus years on. So as things started to open up, we sort of turned our attention to, we started things like we were having virtual events for people in our group because there's a lot of singletons, I suppose, and you couldn't get to gigs where a lot of us would meet up. So we'd have like maybe a playlist for that particular band on a particular night. And if you wanted to join us, you joined us, a bit like this, really. Drop in, drop out, do whatever you want. And then as things started to move and there were hints that live music could restart beyond the limited capacity, which they did to start with, we thought about organising our own music event because it just seemed like, you know, what could possibly go wrong? None of us work in the music business. None of us have any experience of this sort of thing. So we, quite a diverse bunch, from a fatigue coach to me, who's a Scrum Master, an agile coach, to a painter and decorator and somebody who works for a charity. We're quite a diverse bunch of admin team, really, that have zero experience in the music industry or in terms of putting together events. So we thought, we know, let's organise a mini Monsters of Rock. For those who are old enough to remember what Monsters of Rock is, that was a pre-runner to what is Download Festival now. Monsters of Rock started back in the 80s and was basically one stage, six bands, one day rock festival at Donington Park. So we decided we'd find a field because it looked like Boris wasn't going to let us sort of get into a venue with and be able to mix, you know, outside of your bubble and all of that. It was getting quite complicated. So we went for a field, a little place called Cropperdy near Banbury, which we actually had field 8 of what is the Cropperdy Festival for our event. Hired a stage, hired sort of sound and stage crew, organised 6 bands, and then thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. Will anybody actually come? Oh, yeah, we know nothing about organising bands, or we learnt quite a lot, I think it would be fair to say. So for me, as a change professional, you can't help but plan. Have to plan things. So I decided that with the other admins, not that they knew anything about it, that I'd run that event using Scrum and Kanban. So a Kanban board with all of the things that I thought that we needed to do and think about that we could allocate to people. And then we had a daily stand-up. So we all arrived like the day before to set up the stage and everything else. And then the event was on Saturday. So we had daily stand-ups and then we had a retrospective afterwards. That was a bit of a culture shock to people who you normally do painting and decorating on their own. Just like, here's your post-it note. This is your laminate. Everything was laminated because we were camping. Here's your task. So, you know, you have to think about things like security, things about people who are coming in cars or motorbikes but not camping, camper vans versus tents, the fact that you can't have people driving across the field when a band is playing because of the noise, all of that sort of logistic stuff that you know, we don't think about when we're creating software. That doesn't come into our world. And then the sheer logistics of organising a band on and off stage, getting their sound check and their line checked and making sure they've got somewhere to get changed, making sure that you've got like water, at least for the stage, you know, on stage bottled water for them. And then obviously some of the bands have their own riders. So literally, you know, can you sort your bag of Skittles into the different colours, please? Also dealing with the personalities of bands that they're performers. So they're not the people that I'm used to dealing with, you know, day to day. So that performance element and some of the diva, you know, because they get quite stressed and they want to perform the best they want to be, some of the behaviours can be quite diva-like. So you have to be, you know, really like quite thick skin to do it. And we used our agile mindset, I suppose, to adapt to a situation. So all of a sudden somebody would throw a bit of a curveball about, we need this. And we'd be like, I haven't got one of those. Like, let's go and see what we can find. You have to sort of just adapt. And I was just like, well, this is sort of what we do. So the one thing I would say about doing it in a field is, oh my God, I walked my legs off. The next day we'd glamped, allegedly, wasn't serious glamping, but my best friend had to literally pull me up out of my sleeping bag because my legs had seized up that much so I couldn't walk the following morning.
Oh my goodness. But Karen, I wanted to ask you how the team responded when you introduced Scrum and Kanban, because as you've described there, you had a mixed bunch of people. They're not used to this. So how receptive were they to you bringing this to them?
Well, to be honest, bribery of bacon sandwiches and coffee around the camping stove helped, I would say. Always recommend a bit of food as bribery to get people engaged. So like, always feed and water them, top tip. Because for me, it's sort of second nature to work like that, because I sort of led it in quite a natural way, and they could all speak about, it's about creating that safe space, isn't it? Not that I think any of them would feel that uncomfortable with us, because we're a group of friends after all. But being able to say, look, I literally know nothing about that aspect of it. You know, well, actually, yeah, we do need you to help move stuff from the band's van onto stage, but we're not expecting you to set it up. Like, we have sound engineers, and the band will probably want to set their stuff up. They just need a hand to move stuff. So giving people the reassurance that actually, no, we're all in the same boat. None of us have done this before. None of us have any experience of it. We're just going to give it a go, and we're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. That'll be okay. And, you know, if things go a little bit awry, then the only people who actually know the schedule and really what should be going on is us. And the general public, in the nicest possible way, won't realise that there's probably absolute chaos going on behind the scenes. Like, you know, if a band turns up late so they can't have their sound check, then what do you do? So we had to adapt quite a lot. And I think I was running around with a notebook, sort of like doing my retrospective thoughts as I was going around thinking, right, if a band turns up and they don't have time for their sound check, how do you do the sound levels? And sound engineers were just like, well, most rock bands use this standard set of sound. You know, we'll just set the levels at that and then we'll just tweak it. I'm like, great.
You know? Did that approach work? That must have been a scenario that you guys were faced with.
It was. And this year's event, which was bigger, because, you know, having pulled off last year's six bands, one stage, one day, earlier this year, we went, should we do it again? Should we do it again? This year, should we? Because we were really fortunate. It was the beginning of October last year. That day, the sun shone. In fact, I'd gone with loads of layers and you needed sunscreen. It was that warm. This is a chance we probably can't take again in terms of the weather and being outside. And also, we don't want to be in competition with a lot of other festivals. That's not fair. That's not what we're about. We're there to support venues. So this year, when we started talking about it, we decided we would take it to a small music venue because that's what we're about. And then we were like, well, let's make it a bit bigger. So instead of like one day, because some of the feedback we got from people were they'd chosen to arrive at our event on Friday, but there was nothing on, which there wasn't. We all sat in a marquee, we got a takeaway curry, like we got some drinks bought in. There was no entertainment on Friday night because we just thought we were going to be setting up all of the crew, getting everything ready. Hadn't realised that some people would want to travel the night before. Fine. So this time we're like, okay, so we'll do Friday night and all day Saturday. So this time we had 9 bands in a music venue that had 2 stages, one of which is inside, the other one is 3/4 covered outside. And we had this grand plan of, right, on Friday night, 2 bands will play outside and then we'll be able to set the headliner up inside and sound check them separately. They'll be already good to go and they've got their own space. Well, the weather was torrential rain, which meant 3 parts covered. Outdoor stage was flooded on the floor. So not it was fine for the band because the stage is raised and that's all covered and protected, but would have been really miserable for people and cold, you know, to sit outside and very wet. So we were like, change of plan, agile, let's shift. So we're going to have all 3 bands on the indoor stage, which we hadn't planned for. And that means a really quick turnover. So the turnover times that I'd allowed, luckily I'd baked 30 minutes in to give us a bit of slack, because obviously you have to get a whole band's equipment on stage, set up, plugged in, checked, and then you have to remove it at the end of their set and put the new band, next band. So only having one stage caused us a few challenges, but we got over it. And again, like sort of team briefing and the flexibility of like, right, you're doing this, I'm doing that. And this time, because we had a bigger venue, more bands, I think the year before we just put a table for merchandise, bands merchandise in the marquee by the bar. That was fine. Oh no, not this year. Like, because you've got so many bands, they've all got to have their own merch areas. And they usually bring somebody with them to sell their merch. So I'm like, right, you can have that. Cool. So trying to sort out merch areas and allow them to set that up as well as setting up the stage, then giving the band somewhere to go and get changed, things like that. All of the things that you sort of don't really think about. the first band that was due to open on Saturday,
right,
the lead singer got tonsillitis, couldn't sing. So we're like, okay, what do we do now? Another band's lead singer went, well, I can do an acoustic set for you.
How cool is that?
I'll do an acoustic set. And I was like, really? You're doing like 90 minutes later. You're going to do both? Yeah, fine. So we had to announce a change of lineup. That was a real lesson learned this year, retrospective, in terms of trying to plan your capacity.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a field, your capacity is a lot different to being in a venue.
Yeah.
And when you're in a venue and then you go, oh, actually, I've got so many weekend tickets and so many for this and so many for that, plus the bands.
That's like a lot of crowd control, right? Because you know,
yeah,
the indoor space, you had the outdoor space. Yeah, given you had to shift to the indoor space on the first night, did you say?
Yeah.
It was, but can't have been chucking it down all weekend, right?
No.
So that is some serious crowd control that had to be done. What I want to know, I'm intrigued because you've given us so much like juicy information here. For the second more ambitious event that you wanted to pull off, and you did pull it off successfully, doesn't matter what came at you, you rock and rolled literally with it. How did your team grow? Because you would have needed more people.
Rather naively, we turned up with the same admin crew. In fact, we had one less than we had the year before. So there was four of us. And I just thought, well, we're in a music venue. My legs are going to cover less miles. Did a lot of running around, but not, you know, I think the steps were slightly less. A couple of things that I learned was if you're operating two stages, and this is sort of a little bit of a humorous situation, like the pub landlord, the owner of the Vic, amazing guy called John, absolute real character. It's his music venue. He's passionate about it. And he's technically, as a sound engineer, he's brilliant. He usually has another sound engineer. And all of the way through in our, because I set up various chats. So I don't have stand-ups with the bands in the run-up. But we have a band chat and they sort of don't really know that I'm doing a bit of a stand-up with them, really. Like, I need your technical spec. I need your information. I need who you're bringing, like that sort of thing. And the venue included in that so they can get the sound specs for the bands.
I like that. Sneaky way.
Sneaky. But just don't tell them what you're doing and then it works. Turn up on Friday night and John said, because one of the bands is bunch of guys, ex-military. And some of them also sound engineer. In fact, they were our sound and stage crew the year before. Couldn't play because one of them forgot his daughter was getting married. But that's another story on the date. So original band that was booked couldn't play. But so they played this year. So we had a bit of extra help with sound engineering for day one, because the first band on literally had that discipline. John sort of said to me, have you got a sound engineer for tomorrow? I said, no, because I thought that was, you know, I said, you've been quite clear all the way through that you provide the sound engineers. And he said, oh, yeah, I do. He said, it's just that I haven't got a chef tomorrow. He said, I've got bar staff. That's not a problem. But he said, if anybody wants any food, I'm going to have to be in the kitchen. So it was literally like, I was like, nobody order any food in the 30 minutes between sets, please. Can you hold off the first 5 minutes when a band are on stage so we can just make sure it's all okay? Otherwise, I'm going to have to run into the kitchen, take over flipping the burgers. Just so John can get back out to the sound desk. So, and he's such a character. He's just like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm like, oh.
It's the planner and organiser in you, isn't it?
Well, it's the sort of things that you think, this is not something I can step in to do. Yeah. So from our retrospective this year, which was quite detailed, we sat down and did it properly. You'd be very impressed. It was less ad hoc. It was a proper meeting and it was run as a retrospective. But one of the things that we decided we probably should have as backup for our admin is have a technical musical person, somebody who understands what stage setup and what sound engineering is to support us, just in case we have anything like that again. So we've got somebody who can either say, oh, that's not quite right, or but would actually know how to do it, as opposed to us. We're just like, yeah, I can help you get your kit on stage, and I can provide you with a bottle of water, and I can tell you where to go and get changed. And I can go, oh, here's your lovely merch table with some lighting and some coat hangers to hang your T-shirts on.
But someone to make you sound amazing.
Yeah. But I can't do anything about you. You can't hear yourself.
And I think what's so cool about this is that you're taking those Scrum and Kanban principles, and you're not necessarily telling, you know, your colleagues and your team that this is Scrum and this is Kanban, but you're using those principles to help organize, to help learn, to help grow outside of, you know, like the 9-to-5 kind of work environment. And I think this will just spark ideas for other people that, yes, you can take this outside of work and help organize. It's great.
Out of Scrum, out of all the things that I think are the most useful, Anisha, I think we've probably had this conversation before. I think the stand-up, because of the daily communication, that communication is absolutely critical. And then the retrospective in terms of the reflection, so you can adjust immediately about things that you could improve or do differently. If I could only take two things to a desert island out of Scrum, that's what it would be. It'd be a stand-up and a retrospective. And the rest of it, we can get through.
And you've kind of shown, haven't you, like how you've used both of those elements to help support your team, to help set up and learn. It's great to see that example live.
Well, it's certainly not software development, that's for sure.
And you know what? During your gig, that whip limit on your Kanban board must have been crazy. But what I love about this whole thing about how you're applying Scrum to your passion outside of work is the fact that you have open acknowledgement of wanting others to be involved and also see the event through their eyes. Because Karen, you and the other member of your team, you described there's two of you that used to do team briefings that, you know, that were very tightly communicating to organize it. But then there's also others. So yours are not the only eyes that are seeing the event. There are others within your team that are picking things up during the event that are going well, that are not going so well. Just to see that from their point of view is only going to make your next gig stronger.
I hope so. So we're going to the same venue next year. We've sort of decided, I think it will be our home. Mm-hmm. Because we like the flexibility of, you have got some outside space, but it's covered. You've got the indoor space, so you're not weather dependent, which is brilliant. And it's a cracking music venue that's been around for many a year. And if we don't support these music venues and go and see live music,
yeah,
then your future Metallicas, your Queens, your Beyoncés, whoever, they don't have anywhere to start off. So we have to do something to keep live music alive, unless you just want your life to be streamed. And I think if COVID taught us anything, it's probably the value of human interaction and actually being in person.
I completely agree. And I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I just love all the examples that you've given of how all of us can make use of Scrum, Kanban outside of work. I'm going to follow your lead.
You should see my office with the post-it notes everywhere.
Really? She's truly scrummified her life, Sharon.
She has. Karen, we're at that point in the podcast where we'd like to ask if you've got a particular key takeaway that you'd like to leave our listeners with from the conversation.
Ooh. I suppose it's a little bit about mindset, really. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of us have a imposter syndrome, you know. At some point in our careers, we all get to a point where we think, I don't know whether I'm good enough to do this. And never has my imposter syndrome been so loud as organising a rock festival when you literally know nothing about the industry. You don't play an instrument. You don't sing. Literally know nothing about it. And all I can say is having that mindset that says, do you know what, I'm going to give it a go, and what's the worst that can happen, and a fast fail approach to things, to life in general, actually is like, you know, seize the opportunities that are given and don't be scared. Try it. What's the worst that can happen?
Karen, if people want to work with you, find you online, what's the best way of getting in touch?
So Rock Page is on Facebook. It's called Quarantune Rocks. Come and join us. Obviously, I'm on LinkedIn as in my professional life.
We've loved spending this time with you, Karen, from online virtual gigs during lockdown to in-person live events, never having done them before. It's brave, it's courageous, and we love the fact that you're doing it and you're planning bigger and greater events. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials so you don't miss out on great episodes like this.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.